Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
You know, whole books have been written about today's generation, titles like Generation Me. In other words, it all revolves around me. Somehow I am now the center of the universe. I am special and I am entitled. Now look, human beings have always been self-centered. It's part of the nature of sin, selfishness. And probably each generation looks at the last generation and, you know, and the next generation, well, you're more selfish and things like that. But studies have been done, large studies with tens of thousands of people participating in, and they've pointed out that there is something different about this current generation. There is more of a feeling that the world revolves around me, therefore Generation Me, and more of this entitlement mentality. Somehow society owes things to me. Society owes me a better life. Well, there's an episode on the Andy Griffith Show with all of the innocence of that show that kind of speaks to us today. It's about a spoiled child. Here's this new kid who becomes friends with Andy Griffith's son. Check this out.
Hey, you got your new Intercontinental Flyer, huh?
Uh-huh. Yesterday.
Boy, it's a beauty.
Hop on the rack and I'll give you a ride.
I can't. I gotta get this garage cleaned out.
Who says?
My pa.
What happens if you don't?
I don't get my quarter this week.
A quarter? For a job like this?
Oh, no. Besides this, I take out the ashes, keep the wood box filled, and set the table every night.
Oh, boy. Did your old man see you coming?
What do you mean? He's taking advantage of you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They owe it to you. You're not supposed to work for your allowance.
What do you think allowance means?
I don't know. It means money the kid is allowed to have.
Oh?
And without working for it. It's for being a kid.
Are you sure? Seems to me my pa would have told me if that's so.
They figure what they don't tell you, it won't hurt you.
Not my pa. He tells me everything straight.
Okay, so I'm wrong. But who's cleaning a garage for a quarter? And who's riding a $70 bike?
Wait a minute, Arnold.
What do you mean? I told you. Kids aren't supposed to work for their allowance.
My pa is awful busy. Maybe he hasn't heard this new stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, this says it all. It's owed to you because you're a kid. Society owes it to you. Your dad owes it to you. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Eve sinned and then Adam sinned, God says to the man, what did you do? And he says, well, the woman, you put her in the garden with me. I didn't ask for companion. It's all on you. It's your fault. It's your fault. And then he says to the woman, what did you do? He says, It was the snake. It wasn't me. It was the snake. You put him in the garden. You put that deceiver in the garden. It's on you. That's the one side of the blame game. I'm not responsible. Somebody else's fault. The other side of the blame game is I'm not responsible. Someone else is supposed to improve the quality of my life. And this whole idea of, look, everybody has to overcome obstacles. Everybody has something against them. Everybody has something they have to overcome. Everybody has to turn a stumbling block into a stepping stone. No. That's the opposite of the entitlement mentality. I have it coming to me. And if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a tantrum. Well, that's exactly what happens on Andy Griffith. Check this out.
Talking is a waste of time. You have to take action.
Action?
Sure. What kind of action?
Temper tantrums.
Why?
To scare them. Shake them up a little bit.
Have you ever held your breath?
Swimming under the raft?
No.
I mean at home.
To get something you want.
Sounds kind of spiteful.
Listen, it works. Your face gets kind of red, and your jaws get tight, and oh boy, do they get scared. They think you're going to get seriously sick, or maybe even bust a vessel.
Gee.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of them. Kicking a table leg, rolling around on the floor, kicking your feet, pretending you can't stop crying.
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, for crying out loud, Taylor!
Hey, Arnold. Take it easy, Arnold. I didn't mean to say nothing wrong.
I'm sorry, Arnold. I'm sorry.
Get the idea?
And it works?
Every time.
Now, of course, at the end of the show, the whole thing turns around. This kid gets exposed as being spoiled. The father has a change of heart. And, of course, Andy Griffith stays strong the whole way through. But what we have right now is a bunch of spoiled children. You know, there are schools now, children's schools, where when they have sports competitions, they don't keep track of the score because everybody is a winner. Everybody wins. It's too hard to lose. It's too discouraging to lose. Can I tell you, in real life, some people win some days and other people lose some days, and that's the way it is, and we have to learn to deal with it and grow from it. Oh, today, we can't. You're in a college campus. This happened at a campus in North Carolina. You say the words, you know, have a nice Christmas holiday. That's a microaggression. That's a microaggression. That means that everybody celebrates Christmas and you're not considering other people. If you tell a woman, hey, that's a nice outfit you have. You look really nice. Oh, that is belittling her dignity and worth as a woman and what she has to offer. And if you say, hey, why don't we play a round of golf? Oh, that's another microaggression, because what if the person can't afford it and you're insulting them? What am I saying? The world revolves around me. And if I don't like the way this feels, then I am going to protest. That, friends, is what we are dealing with today. The entitlement mentality, the world revolves around me mentality, and if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw a tantrum. It didn't work then. It's not going to work today. You know the solution? Take responsibility. Nobody owes you a free lunch.
Today's topic is water, the new gold. We want to talk about water entrepreneurship. However, I got a question of the day. We might have to cover water entrepreneurship on another day. Well, that depends on you guys, though. Are Black Americans, on a critical mass basis, not everybody, but on a critical mass basis, are Black people like Arnold in the Andy Griffith Show, are we like him? I mean, there's some key words that this guy, brought up.
Hiya, Taylor.
Hi, Arnold.
Gosh, you must have been saving up for it since you was a kid.
My dad bought it for me.
Come on, Taylor. Hop on the rack and I'll give you a ride.
I can't. I gotta get this garage cleaned up.
What happens if you don't?
I don't get my quarter this week.
Kids aren't supposed to work for their allowance.
My pa is awful busy. Maybe he hasn't heard this new stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll ask him. Take it from me. Talking is a waste of time. You have to take action.
Kicking a table leg, rolling around on the floor, kicking your feet, pretending you can't stop crying.
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, for crying out loud, Taylor.
Hey, Arnold. Take it easy, Arnold. I didn't mean to say nothing wrong.
Get the idea?
Hey! Stop that bike!
What's the matter?
You're not allowed to ride a bike on the sidewalk.
Oh, watch it.
Doggone it, I warned him, and he deliberately rode on the sidewalk again.
Is that true, son? Did you hear Officer 5 warn you?
Yes, sir.
Young man, I'm going to have to take this bike and hold it.
You can't take my bike. It's my bike.
Now, you listen here, young fella. When an officer gives you a warning, you're supposed to mind.
Yeah, now get on off of there. Now go on home.
Oh, hi, son.
Pa, can I talk to you about something I don't understand?
Sure, come on in.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
I just don't understand it, Pa.
What?
None of the other guys work for their allowance. I just don't want to work for my allowance.
No work, no allowance.
That's not fair!
Don't raise your voice to me. Now, you get on out of here. I got things to do. What are you doing?
I was holding my breath.
Good lung exercise. Well, don't get your clothes all dirty. Sheriff?
Yes, sir. You the boy's father?
That's right. Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
Everybody's against me.
There, son.
Get him out, little bud.
Was it such a crime?
Now, if we don't teach children to live in society today, what's going to happen to them when they grow up?
For heaven's sake, Sheriff, the boy's not a criminal.
The minimum punishment for this offense is impounding the bicycle for 1 week.
Well, you can't do it. I demand you return that bike and now.
Now, you look here. You're that boy's father. You're responsible for his actions. Now, he's too young to be locked up. But if you're not going to take responsibility, maybe I ought to lock you up. You ever think of that?
Go on, put him in jail. He won't care. I don't want to lose my brand new bike. I just got it.
You'd rather I put your father in jail.
I want my bike!
Sheriff, there won't be any need to impound that bike.
How's that?
I'm going to sell it.
Sell it? You're going to sell my bike?
That's right, Arnold.
But it's my bike. You can't sell my bike.
Be quiet, Arnold.
Mr. Winthrop, there's a real nice woodshed out back.
Good old-fashioned woodshed?
Real nice one.
No, I want my bike. I want my bike. I want my bike. I want my bike.
Is Arnie going to get spanked, Paul?
Don't you think he deserves it?
I don't want to say. After all, he is one of my own kind.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, son.
I was wondering if by any chance you might need a person to clean the garage and do odd jobs around.
There happens to be a recent vacancy in that department.
Oh, boy.
25 cents a week, okay?
Sounds fine to me, Paul.
Good. Oh.
Yeah, Paul?
Suppose we make that, 27 cents a week.
That's a dollar more a year.
Yeah. What you gonna do with all your money?
Save up for a bell.
A bell?
Uh-huh. Then save up for a bike to put under it.
Okay, question of the day. Are black Americans on a critical mass basis, not all of them, but on a critical mass basis, are they like that character Arnold that we just heard on the Andy Griffith Show? Entitled. 619-768-2945. If you have any opinion on that, we sure would like to hear it. Okay, water, let's see. Water, what do you call it? Entrepreneurship. I think, matter of fact, if you're looking for a side hustle or a main hustle or a career change, I suggest you guys take a look at water entrepreneurship. We'll be back. We're going to play this interlude first before we get into that.
Color. Color.
Now, neighbors on Detroit's west side concerned a water thief is on the loose, pilfering H2O from outside spigots. Well, they say it started when suspected squatters moved onto the block. It's a story we put our Ronnie Zoll on, and she joins us live tonight with more. What's going on, Ronnie?
Every drop of water out of the faucet costs money, and some neighbors believe someone's sneaking into their yards and filling up on their dime, and that has some temperature or some tempers reaching the boiling point. Neighbors living on Medetol Street are in a fight to save their block. That's why when squatters moved in recently, they watched and noticed something odd.
They've been pulling and walking around with buggies with totes in them and filling them up with water.
One neighbor who didn't want us to show her face on camera tells Action News she's worried her water is being ripped off.
My neighbor told me one night that my water been running. They didn't know what was running, but it been running all night. We pay for our own water, and I'd be damned to look for some squatters to come on the block and start coming in our backyard while we sleeping at nighttime, taking our water.
Time to get to the bottom of this water fight, so I take a stroll a few doors down.
I'm Ronnie with Channel 7. How are you today?
And meet Loretta on the front porch.
There seems to be some concern that you guys are squatting in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Are you squatting?
No, we're buying the space.
Loretta doesn't have details of the deal and gets her husband, Tony Johnson. I get a similar line.
So who are you buying it from, if you don't mind me asking?
Citizen Bank.
Citizen Bank. Well, usually they don't let you move into a house until your paperwork is finalized.
Tony's story starts to change. He says Property Management Group is letting him house it until the paperwork is finalized.
Do you think Property Management has some type of hustle going?
It's a possibility.
Did you pay him any money?
No.
Both admit the house has no running water, but both claim they are not water thieves.
But have you been taking water from the neighbor's home?
No.
Where these neighbors come up with this stuff? I have no idea and don't really care.
You know, I really don't understand why people lie to me, because eventually I'm going to get to the truth. I did check real estate records and gave Tony a few extra days to come up with that paperwork. And guess what? He doesn't have it. He was lying. He's not buying that house. He indeed today admitted to me he was squatting. However, he says he's not stealing water from the neighbors. They do not have running water. He says he's been getting it from relatives in the neighborhood. Now, if you do suspect someone is stealing your water, report it to the water department. They will check your bill. For now, we're live on the city's west side. Back to you.
You got down to the bottom of that.
taking a risk with our supply, ain't you? I mean, setting up a meet with anybody other than us.
Got to. The boy crave reassurance.
Boss, you get that boy Marlo in line on our connect. He might try to go around the co-op. Go around us. You know what I'm saying?
Cautious as those Greeks be, who you think they gonna trust? They know us. They don't know him.
Damn. Look at this nigga coming around.
Easy, son. Easy.
Yeah, I might have known I'd find you boys in here burning that oil after hours.
Nigga, I'm gonna kill you twice.
Oh? You don't want your shipment, huh?
Say your piece.
Well, it just so happened I got some heroin for sale. Market-wise, you fellas look like buyers, you feel me?
This some shameless shit.
Boy, ain't no shit in my game, dog. I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
How much?
20 on the dollar.
10, nigga.
Don't make me say 25 now.
That's 400,000.
How about we take your faggot ass in the back room and get into some diabolical brutality? Find our shit the old-fashioned way. Feel me?
Oh, I feel you. Sound like a plan.
I don't know, though, Joe. You think Omar gonna give it up?
20 on the dollar it is.
Say, how's she taking, Joe?
It's not all about money.
I think it's...
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
People who live in towns and cities in Uganda and many other African countries have some access to grid electricity to light their homes and power their businesses. But many rural people aren't connected at all. But simply waiting for the grid to arrive isn't good enough for entrepreneurs like Moses Akera. He recognizes there's a good business to be made harnessing the power of the sun.
I really prefer solar to be used in the community like this, because it remains the property of the client. You don't pay bills and you don't buy fuel like somebody using generator.
So solar energy is the best option for many rural Ugandans. But being new to the industry, many solar retailers like Moses were struggling to make their businesses a success.
We don't have capacity to advertise ourselves, our products. We don't have capacity to have quality technical training.
So the Rural Energy Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, introduced the Solar Now program in 2007. Its aim, to spread the benefits of electricity throughout rural Africa by providing training and support to existing solar retailers like Moses. And they encourage other retailers and entrepreneurs to start selling solar equipment from scratch.
Most of these retailers need to be supported in terms of training so that they can be able to run their businesses better. They also need support in terms of market awareness, because so many people out here in the field do not know about solar, so we need to come and enlighten them.
As well as training, the Rural Energy Foundation loans retailers portable demonstration kits, which they use to drum up business in local markets.
What we're trying to do is, these people are off-grid and they do not have access to electricity. So we're trying to show them how solar can improve their lives. For instance, we try to show them how they can make money from solar. For instance, here with us we have a shaver, so they can use this to have barbershops. We also show them how they can use it to use light at their homes. See, when you have this light in your house, the children can study at night. They can use it in their shops to work longer hours, and they can use it at home.
If retailers want to use the Solar Now brand, they have to commit to providing high-quality installations and good after-sales service. The Rural Energy Foundation helps them achieve this by training solar technicians.
We're trying to get the entrepreneurs to sign service contracts, so when they sell the product, it also comes with after-sales service. Let's say they have to check to make a phone call to the customer after a certain period to check if the system is working. And then till after some time through the service contract, they also have to go and actually do the inspection of the system.
The Rural Energy Foundation has trained over 200 retailers in 9 African countries. So far, they've sold 57,000 solar home systems and 36,000 solar lanterns. They've helped at least 400,000 people, saved nearly 5 million litres of kerosene and 12,000 tonnes of CO2 each year. Basil Okelo is impressed and has decided to buy the equipment from Moses to set up his own solar barbershop and phone charging business. He's taking advantage of a credit scheme which helps entrepreneurs buy equipment from Solar Now retailers to get their businesses going.
Solar Now is giving me a loan. I'm going to make a down payment of 25% now. Later, in 3 months' time, I'll make another 25%, making a total of 50%. Then the remaining I'll complete within a period of a year.
With his system now installed, Basil is optimistic about the future.
Because this is a new investment I'm going into. I have never been into this business before. But as I see, I have the expectation that I'll make money.
Moses is growing his solar retail business too. He already had a shop in town. With support from the Rural Energy Foundation, he's now set up a small village branch to cater specifically for his rural customers.
Rural Energy Foundation is very important to us. If they help us training technicians, we shall be in position to expand all over.
We hope that others will also adopt the private sector development approach. We don't want to be unique. We want to spread the word that this is a really efficient approach to get the technology diffused deeply into the rural markets.
The Rural Energy Foundation plans to expand into other African countries and broaden its range of sustainable technologies. Solar panels are now becoming a common sight here in homes, and shops buy them as well to run radios and offer phone charging, increasing their income and enabling people to communicate. And to everyone's delight, the local bar has installed a fridge powered by the sun. The owner is pleased with his investment.
Yeah, we're happy because it's cold, the beer tastes better, and so I get more customers.
So when people try to figure out how to make $1 million, they have no idea how daunting that is. Because if you know how to make $1 million, you're going to make it tomorrow. But since you can't figure out how to $1 million idea, you go somewhere and sit down. That's the wrong approach. If you apply your gift, your God-given gift that he gave you, you have millions already at your disposal. If you break it down inch by inch into things of sense, or the 10-by-10 theory, which is very simple. You don't need $1 million idea. You need a $10 idea. You need something that you do, your gift that God gave you, to make $10. That's all you got to be able to know. I don't care if it's cutting hair, cutting somebody's grass, washing somebody's car. I don't care if it's mowing somebody's lawn. I don't care if it's driving people to their destinations. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's baking cookies or pie. You have some braiding somebody's hair. You have something that you can do so well that someone will give you $10 for it. Write my paper for me. Do this for me. Somebody give you $10 for it. Once they give you $10, all you got to do is whatever you did to get that 10, do it 10 more times. You now, my friend, have $100. You have $100 simply because you took a $10 idea and you did it 10 times. Well, guess what? If you take that $100 that you made since you've done it 10 times and you do it 10 more times, I got news for you, my friend. You now have $1,000. $1,000, you make $1,000, guess what all you got to do? You got to multiply that effort again. Do whatever you did to do $1,000, do it 10 more times. My friend, you now have $10,000. You got $10,000 now. Imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. Just imagine if you was making an extra $10,000 a month. That's $120,000 a year. But I got news for you, my friend. Whatever you did, whatever it took to make yourself $10,000, all you got to do is do it 10 more times. 10 more times, my friend. You now have $100,000. I got news for you now. If you can make $100,000, you're just a step away from being a millionaire, man. Because now you hire a few more people to help you out that you can do portions of what you do so you can duplicate that effort. And one more time, just one more time, do it 10 times. Man, that sounds hard. It is hard. But what else you got to do? What, you going to stop at the 100,000? All you got to do is duplicate your efforts by 10. You duplicate your efforts by 10 times 100,000. Welcome to the club, my friends. You are now a millionaire. Congratulations. You became a millionaire with a $10 idea. So stop bogging yourself down trying to figure out how to make a million. Do what you can do to make $10. And then do the 10-by-10 theory. Inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Now, here's the joyful part. Along the way, when you was down here making $20,000, but you did right here, and now all of a sudden you're making $30,000. Now you're making $100,000. But on the way to duplicating that times 10, you may stop along in here at $250,000. You got making $250,000 a year. That's way better than that $20,000 you had when you started. So there's joy in the process. Your life is actually a lot richer at 250. It'll become even more richer at a half a million. It becomes even richer than that at $750,000, $750,000. If you don't get to the million, man, you're going to trip because you're making $900,000 a year? No, you're going to be happy. But you don't make the million, so you only make $700,000 a year? You can't find happiness in $7,000? Something wrong with you, man. There's joy in the process. That's how you make $1 million.
Greetings to all of you, family and friends on YouTube. ES is backing out of my house. After the live stream, I came in, you know, decided to tell her what I did on my live stream. But all of a sudden, she decided to downplay me. And she can't downplay me, but she can only fool herself. She's backing out of myself. Out of my house. That is her belongings over there.
I'm here. Look at you.
I'm here.
What is this?
This is you. Yes.
You don't want to hear the truth. I'm not weak.
You're so fake for the camera.
Yes.
You see how you see,
yes.
No, I'm nothing.
You're
I'm
drunk.
Nothing.
Yes.
If you're not drunk, then
did you buy me a drunk?
Yes.
Did you buy me a drink?
No.
Did you see how
you all sat there?
So did you see how my brother is pleading with her?
This is
and she's disrespecting.
This is your tradition.
Look,
yes.
You see?
You hit women,
yes.
And you're talking?
You see?
Yes.
You see?
You hit women.
You see?
You're still running your mouth.
You see? You see how she's disrespecting?
You hit women. You got your hands in your pocket.
You see how she disrespects my brother? You see?
I'm sorry.
The eldest brother in my family. This is her wife, Napa. You see?
Yes.
Who has been washing her clothes ever since she's here. You see how she disrespects them?
The
you see?
Yes.
You are down, but you don't know you are down.
Yes.
Are you gonna knock me?
Yes.
I'm not gonna knock
yes.
you. I'm not gonna hit you.
You don't see this wickedness in your brother.
I'm not gonna do anything to you. I'm not gonna do anything to you. But I'm gonna share it to the world to know who you are.
Thank you. Let them know who I am.
Yeah.
That I don't
No man can abuse you in this world. It is your character that will abuse you.
My character abuses
you. Sure. Just look at me. Look at my body. Look at me. Ever since I come back from your project, I did not get a shower.
You're not slow.
Did you pay me?
No.
Are you serious?
Did you pay me?
Bitch, you got paid in pussy. Kick rock.
What is pussy?
Dumbass.
You invited me for the pussy.
You feel me?
You invited me for the pussy.
Dude, you so dumb.
You invited me for...
You guys don't believe this.
You invited me for the pussy.
Get away with this.